do you realize that's what effective preaching does? It's the exaltation of Christ to the humbling or even the humiliation of man. That's what authentic preaching is supposed to do. Why is that? Here's why. Because there's no true conversion apart from true conviction. There won't be, unless there's conviction, there won't be conversion.
Hi, loved ones, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and you are joining us in the middle of our series, looking deeply at the beginning of the church. And today we turn into Acts chapter 3 in a message entitled, The Author of Life. Hey, loved ones, do you realize that when you know and when you understand the author of life, that everything becomes clear? Do you understand that when you know the author of life, your purpose and your meaning and your value and the whole reason why you are here on this earth becomes crystal clear? Listen, you are here with a purpose today. God has planned that you would come and you would listen to today's message. And we're praying for you today that God would open hearts and eyes wide to see and delight in the Lord Jesus Christ like never before. Let's turn things over to our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons, in Acts 3, verse 11, again with this message entitled, The Author of Life.
And you see this healing, and Peter says, Jesus is the glory. And you're like, wow, man, I'm starting to connect the dots here all of a sudden because the Holy Spirit's working in you. And then Peter says, and you killed him. And you're like, oh no. Right? But like, not a joke. Like, you're like, oh, and the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, you did kill them. You're like, oh. And so just like in this moment, you're not fiddling with your phone texting people. You're not kind of checking the weather. You're not kind of just looking around. You're dialed in, man. Your Holy Spirit, he's got you. He's got you fixed and transfixed. And you're sitting there, pin drop, not a sound. People probably holding their breath. Like, this is one of these moments right here in the text. Because God's so powerfully working among people, both in the glory of Christ and the conviction of sin. And you're starting to see this man was healed. This man was healed because of the glory that is found in Jesus Christ. And so Peter, right now, he's under the school of preaching of the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit's his professor, okay? And so like any strong spirit-led preacher will do, right? He exalts Christ. And now he humiliates man. That's, do you realize that's what effective preaching does? It's the exaltation of Christ to the humbling or even the humiliation of man. That's what authentic preaching is supposed to do. Why is that? Here's why. Because there's no true conversion apart from true conviction. There won't be, unless there's conviction, there won't be conversion. You know, I think about in our day, there's such a hesitancy to preach on sin. There's such a reluctancy to speak of the depravity of man. There's the ongoing temptation to tickle ears with soft truth. There's so much preaching that is in the fear of man and then absent of the fear of God. People think they're helping people when they do that. And yeah, you may be liked by a few more people, but at the end of the day, you're not being faithful to the gospel. Because until humanity recognizes its need, their need for Jesus Christ because of the devastation of their own sin, they can never truly be saved. So how does Peter do in this regard? Now remember, Peter is a lowly fisherman and has zero credibility apart from that he has the Holy Spirit with him, okay? So again, look at verse 13, okay? Halfway through, he says, You delivered Jesus over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. Okay, so I give Peter a pass in terms of boldness here, all right? He's doing pretty good, okay? Notice, you delivered, you denied, you killed the author of life. So the Holy Spirit is blowing people apart in this moment. We know that by the end. We know that. So can I just picture with every phrase that Peter says, the people's pride and their devastation kind of grows and they're lowered with each statement. You delivered Jesus. Oh, you denied him. Oh, you killed the author of life. And there's just the brokenness and the personal devastation starts to set in. And the people, some of them probably started to whimper. Like, I kid you not. Probably started the seeds of just contrition and personal devastation at the reality of what they had done. Notice Peter says, and you asked for a murderer. That's speaking of Barabbas. Before Pilate, you asked for a murderer to be granted to you instead of Jesus. Okay, that is probably one of the worst decisions of all time. Would you like Barabbas or Jesus? Barabbas, please, you moron. Okay? What are you talking about? But this is what sin does. Would you like eternal life or would you like some thief? A thief, please, you moron. Telling you, like, this is what our world does. Would you want Jesus or you want death? Death, please, you moron. Can I keep saying that? I'm sorry. Am I offending anyone? I'm sorry. But the reality and the totality of what's happening here. You want sin or you want forgiveness? Sin, please. You want hell or heaven? Hell, please. This is what our world is doing in the millions. In the millions and billions. Choosing death over life. It's the dumbest decision ever. And Peter's like, this is what you chose. And again, I can only imagine the brokenness setting in here. The stupidity and insanity of choosing Barabbas over Jesus. But listen, loved ones, hey, and I hope, like, as much as I'm, like, smashing the people here, I'm just like, man, for decades, I chose Barabbas over Jesus. And so did you. This is the devastation of sin and blindness. Sin is so devastating. There are men right here in this room that you're on the verge of doing something utterly destructive to your marriage because you're so dumb and dead in your sin. There are women here right now, man, you're on the verge of seeking some kind of lifestyle that is going to absolutely wreck your heart and affection for Jesus Christ because you're so dead and dumb to your sin. That's what sin does. It blinds us entirely. It ruins us. And that's what Satan wants. But listen, I want you to see here, okay, like Peter's like, hey, listen, you killed the author of life. But he's like, but you get a second chance. And you're like, really? Like, really? Well, this is what happens. And you're here right now, and you've killed the author of life because of our sin. You get a second chance as well. This is the marvel of this. Peter's not done here. He says with his final laser beam of spirit-given conviction, he says, you killed the author of life. Now, I love the term author of life. I want to unpack that just a little bit right here. Sit and think on that term for a moment. The author of life. The author of life in the Greek, it's a phrase that means first cause or occasion. It denotes someone of preeminent position, a one who begins something, the first in a series. The author of life was someone who is never at the back of the line giving orders. It was someone always in the front, leading, setting the example. Jesus is the author of life. I want you to look at some of these verses saying this is so awesome. He is the firstborn over all creation. That means preeminent one. He is the supreme one over all creation. I just love these verses. All things were created through Christ and for Christ. All things. All things were made through him. Everything was made through the glory and person of Jesus Christ. And just in case you didn't get that, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's a few more verses I want you to see here. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life is found in Jesus Christ himself. Turn to him today. He is the heir. He is the heir of all things. All things. None like Jesus. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. All things were made through him and for him. Watching a nature show this week again. Summer, I love nature shows. You know that about me. And you're watching on there. I'm learning on nature shows, learning about creatures that had never before been discovered until now. And the intricacies and the complexities and the beauty and the, mind-blowing details of one little aspect of creation, which is more than the human mind can comprehend. And I love forcing anyone with an earshot around me, particularly my kids, to say, man, do you see how awesome God is? And this is all for Jesus. And it's for Jesus. And Jesus did this. He did this. He created all of it. All of it. It's a wonder. It's awesome. It's amazing. He's the author of life. The world doesn't want to hear it, but the Lord continues to proclaim it. He's the author of life. And listen, our sin killed the author of life. But God's power raised him because he is the author of life. I mean, who here, even right now today, you need to surrender your soul to the author of life, Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is awesome. And Peter's like, hey, you got to know, you killed him, but you can be raised by him. There's only one who holds such glory and power and life. Secondly, this, number two, faith, repentance, and revival in Jesus. Faith, repentance, and revival. So Peter, really, he's just warming up, man, the Holy Spirit's using him. Verse 16, he says, this we are witnesses of. And then verse 16, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus. Look at Peter. Look at how intentional. He's like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's awesome. What a lesson for us. Through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. How about that? And look at Peter directing attention away from even the healed beggar. And he's certainly directing attention away from the apostles or himself. He just keeps holding up Jesus. Why? Because through Jesus, this man has been given perfect health. Notice how given perfect health? Through faith in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Oh, the name of Jesus. Amen, church, loved ones. The name, ever tire saying, thinking, praying, singing the name of Jesus. This whole world has been changed by the name of Jesus. I find myself often drifting towards choruses. I want you to look at this chorus here. Growing up with this, I didn't appreciate it. After you get saved, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names. When you sit and stop and be still and understand how glorious this is, it's so wonderful. To sing and to reflect and to take in and to absorb. And I just encourage you, man, like today, like just take a moment, just stop. Like just take a moment and be still and just find a quiet place and just consider and reflect on the beauty and the glory and the power and the revival that is found in Jesus Christ. You guys know this song? Okay, we're gonna sing it. Okay, I'll start us off and you kick in right away, okay? But listen, as we do this, like just let it be a time of worship. We'll sing it through twice. We're not in a rush here. We're not in a rush. These moments are precious. Ready? Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, thrice glorious Lord, Emmanuel. God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Let's do it one more time. You can close your eyes. Jesus, name above all names, so beautiful, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, yes, Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, yes, Lord. Blessed Redeemer, living Word. Oh, that's awesome. Yes, Lord. I just more. The more we get our eyes on Jesus, it lets us on the world, the more we feel satisfaction, the more we have the purpose, the more we see the meaning of life, the more we know His joy, the more we find ourselves not concerned about self, but concerned about Him. Simple practices that go so far. The Holy Spirit will never turn down the desire to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It just doesn't happen. I want you to see what Peter does now, though, in verse 17, and just the theology here is so rich. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Okay, so verse 17, the responsibility of man in murdering Jesus. Even though it's in ignorance, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, Stephen being martyred said something very similar. And yet, they did not fully understand what was happening. But look at verse 18. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer and thus be fulfilled. See what's happening here? In verse 17, man is responsible for killing Christ. In verse 18, God is sovereign over it. So here you again have in the Bible teaching, this is very important, okay? If you want to grow in Christ, the Bible teaches both. What? Number one, man is responsible. We are responsible for sin. We are responsible for receiving Christ. At the same time, the Bible teaches in the same passage, sometimes in the same verse, God is sovereign over all of this. God is sovereign. God promised and predicted that the Christ must suffer and these things through the prophets would be fulfilled. God is sovereign over everything, and yet that does not get us out of our own responsibility for the sin that we are. If you wrestle down these theological concepts too much, your brain should hurt, and praise the Lord for that, okay? Spurgeon said, the responsibility of man and the sovereignty of God are two parallel tracks that will intersect in heaven, okay? When we get there, we can sit down over coffee and kind of, but for now, I don't mind not being able to fully explain that I'm responsible, but God is sovereign. I love them and I leave it up to God in the wonder of his glory that I'm this finite, tiny creature and God is infinite and so majestic and his knowledge is far too profound for all the human minds combined to come up and try to position him to give an answer. I'm glad someone said amen there. That's good. Watch the grace of God in verse 18. This is amazing. As one commentator pointed out, Peter goes from prosecuting attorney, you kill the author of life, to defense attorney on their behalf. That's amazing. How strange and how wonderful this is. So the same message of condemnation, you killed him, includes an invitation to redemption. I mean, this blows me away, right? So you killed him, but the fact that he died is the way that you have life. You're like, what? That's how awesome our God is. Our sin killed Christ, and yet his death was necessary that we might live. Look at verse 18. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. That's beautiful. John Stott says this about blotted out. The Greek term is exalipho. It means to wash off, erase, or obliterate. Listen carefully. It is used in the book of Revelation, both of God, who wipes away our tears, and of Christ, who refuses to erase our name from the book of life. William Barclay explains this through the allusion on the screen for you. He says this. Ancient writing was upon papyrus and the ink used had no acid in it. It therefore did not bite into the papyrus as modern ink does. It simply lay on top of it. So to erase the writing, a man might take a wet sponge and simply wipe it away. Just so when God forgives his sins, he will wipe the slate clean. That's beautiful. So remember, the reason, because Jesus wiped away our sin at the cross, one day soon, Revelation says, Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes, every tear. And the only reason every tear will be wiped away is because he has wiped away our sin once and for all, forever, fully dealt with on the cross of Jesus Christ. Again, if you came in grumpy, I pray you're more grateful now. I pray you're starting to see, wow, I mean, like every sin of mine has been wiped away. And one day soon, every single tear of mine will be wiped away because of Jesus Christ. That day is coming and coming soon. Oh, don't give up. Don't give up. So worth it. So worth it. Fight the good fight. Suffer for Christ. Choose to be rejected in the light of being accepted by Christ. Choose to be rejected by society in order to be acknowledged and loved and counted as a child of God for all of eternity. It's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. And think of the power of the gospel in this moment. You killed him, but his death will bring you life if they would just repent. Now think about this. Peter's like, if you repent, even though you murdered the author of life, like it doesn't get much more serious than that. If you repent, you will be forgiven. You know, you're thinking about this in the early church, and you have people who literally were there in the killing of Jesus and responsible for that physically on the scene, and God still did revival through their hearts. This is really good for me. I mean, as bad as the days are getting in our day, do you not think that God can move in our day as well? I mean, do you not think that God can move among people in our day, as bad and as awful as it is and whatever, that he can move and radically? Of course he can. Of course he can. Come on, Robbie, have some faith, man. Have some more faith. You know, like Kanye West and stuff, like more of that. I don't care if celebrities get saved, man. I don't care at all. You know, people, God, have mercy upon person after person after person. They might know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He can do anything in our day. I just imagine as Peter's preaching this sermon, he just must have been so rushed with the Holy Spirit of God, the clarity, the crystal clear clarity of what he's saying. And notice the result of this. I love this so much. If you look there in verse 20, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, notice. Okay, I believe this is ultimately fulfilled in eschatology, meaning when Christ returns. But we know this. Times of refreshing come when someone is saved. You are born again. You are baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. We also know this, times of refreshing come in sanctification. There are special times of grace. I believe we experienced them this past week at the Stand Firm Conference and many, many, many times again within our church recently, whatever. But listen, I want you to, times of refreshing come from where? Look at the text, right? From the presence of the Lord. So we don't drum up refreshment. We don't work for refreshment. We don't have some kind of religious formula for refreshment. Spiritual refreshment comes from the presence of the Lord. And listen, those times are coming soon. That time ultimately is going to be revealed to a man. Again, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Hey, young men, can you imagine times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord? Can you imagine that happening if you are born again, alive in Jesus Christ? That is going to be so awesome, man. You try to conceive that with the video games down for a couple of seconds and you see Jesus Christ and what he's worth and who he is. Unbelievable. I wish someone did it to me in church, by the way, when I was, how old are you? Like 12 or something like that? 10? You're 10? Okay, I wish when I was 10, someone came up to me and just said, young man, if you love Jesus Christ, you know the presence of God, man, that might have helped for me just, anyways, I'll move on to something else now, all right? Times of refreshing are coming from the presence of the Lord. And so we, loved ones, we ask, but we know it's coming. But in the meantime, you know, you're alive in Christ. You know, there is nothing that equates from the presence of the Lord. Nothing. Nothing comes close. Longing, praying, yearning, desiring. When it happens, oh Lord, Father, would you grant that to us? For your church, we need you, Lord, like we need you so much. We can't do this apart from you. And yet we long for the day when this will all be fulfilled. Repent and turn, therefore, the times of refreshing. They come from the presence of the Lord. I wonder if you're here right now and you've been in sin your whole life. And you repent from sin and turn to Christ. You do both. Your sin is killing you. You turn from your sin and then you turn to Christ. And times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. How awesome that is. And all, listen, all of this is only found in the person and presence of Jesus Christ. So thirdly and finally this, listen to Jesus and be transformed by Jesus. There's revival in Jesus, the glory and the power is in Jesus. And now look what Peter does here in verse 21. So if you look at the last part of verse 20, the presence of the Lord and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, the second coming, Jesus, listen, verse 21, whom heaven must receive, that's now, until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his prophets, holy prophets. That is awesome. He's in heaven until the time for restoring all things is to come. That's going to be a good day. And then notice what Peter does now. Filled with the Holy Spirit, doesn't have a Bible open in front of him. He's just so alert and alive in the things of it. Now he just starts quoting scripture again. Moses said, quoting Deuteronomy 18, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Now here's what Peter's doing now, okay? He's like, this Jesus is so awesome. All the prophets prophesied about him. What he's doing now is he's showing his entirely Jewish audience that everything they've ever longed for culminates and climaxes in Jesus Christ. This is what he's doing right here. He's like, Moses said, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him. I'm telling you here today, if you want life, you got to listen to Jesus Christ. And whatever he tells you, I notice, and it shall be that every soul who does, here's the warning, and every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Okay, again, like this is the reality of love. Love tells you what's true. Love says Jesus gives you life. Love also says to reject Jesus gives you death. Verse 24, and all the prophets who have spoken from him, Samuel, and those who came after him also proclaim these. You know what Peter's doing? All the prophets point, everyone points to you. Everything is found in Jesus. And if Moses and Samuel weren't enough, then he drops this bomb, Abraham. You are the sons of the prophets of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. So the blessing of the covenant, every Jewish person listening would be completely in tune. Every Jewish person fully understand. We know what the covenant of blessing, how serious that is. It's fulfilled in Jesus. And then look at verse 26. God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, sent him to you first, to the Jews first, to bless you. How are we blessed? By turning every one of you from your wickedness. I'm okay to be second in line for this blessing. Are you? Okay. And maybe you're Jewish here right now and awesome. God bless you. You were first for this message. But for the rest of us who are Gentiles, I'm okay being second man as long as it comes. The blessing and the transformation that is found in Jesus Christ are turning away from wickedness to love him. Now listen. Let's end where we started, the author of life. There's no other person who can be called this. No other person can deliver this. The author of life, he is glory, he is purpose, he is revival, he is forgiveness, he is life, okay? Jesus, name above all names.
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.